Hey everyone, this is Lavender Frost, and you're listening to the bonus materials for my Behind the Pod interview with You Enough. But before we dive in, it does merit some explanation. When we put out the call for the second round of questions and sat down to record, we'd initially planned to just plop them into the main recording we were submitting for the podcast. However, for some reason that we still cannot figure out for the life of us, UA's mic decided to start acting terrible. It was like a goose came and stole it and left some kind of electronic gremlin in its place. It kept fucking with the intake volume on her parts and picking up mine and generally making things very muffled and distorted and frustrating on her end, and generally required like all the cleanup on mine. And all in all, it was decided it would sound weird to just work it into the original recording as if nothing happened. So I cleaned it up and edited as best we could and decided to throw it out there with a lot of bonus materials, i.e. randomness that we got into during our first session when our conversation got completely derailed for like 20, 30 minutes, plus some outtakes, because outtakes. So yeah, I'm sorry about the sound issues for this part of the interview, but I hope you enjoy nonetheless.
Dr. Hoot, what makes cover art fun for you?
The fact that visual arts are fun and interesting for me to begin with. It's one of those things where some people love it, some people hate it. It's also more enjoyable because it's where I feel most comfortable. That's pretty much it. Like, it's like some people love math and we fucking hate math.
No.
People are different. But... So
My wife loves math. Like, she eats it with a spoon and she's really good at it, and she can do every single thing, like, you know, calculated in her head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this magic?
What is this sorcery?
Yes. You know? And like,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I have dyscalculia, so I can't even, like, I don't know my multiplication table. I can't read the time on a fucking clock. And she's there, calculating, man. Weird shit on, like, other scales. Oh, man. Yeah.
It's like you married Einstein.
Yeah, it's very different. There's binary counting, and you can count in, like, tens and dozens and sixteenths instead, which is a thing. Weird. Weird magic. So
yeah, weird.
People are different.
And so, yeah, everyone's different. Some people are going to love art. Some people are going to hate it. Some people are going to be indifferent to it. It's, you know, it's because everyone is an individual, unique human being. I happen to enjoy cover art. Not everyone does. And it's cool.
It might be worth also mentioning, like, you know, the gif you see, like, the little animation you sent me of the bunny saying, "I hate art. I hate making art. Why am I making art?" It's in kind of a love-hate relationship sometimes.
Yeah, because it does cause us a lot of pain at the same time.
Yes.
It's like, we get frustrated too. Like,
I have a follow-up question for you then. Do you have a preference between the process or the end?
That's a good question. I don't actually know.
Because the process is frustrating as fuck sometimes, but also satisfying. Well, and the end can be, like, you know, the result.
I guess it depends on the project. I have had some projects where the process was almost, I don't want to say meditative, but very relaxing to work on when I was doing things that maybe I was more comfortable with. And there were times... Mostly the process part that tends to frustrate me is the stuff that doesn't necessarily involve Photoshop to begin with. It's the whole coming up with ideas.
Finding resources?
Yeah, ideas, resources, things like that. Like 90% of the time when I'm getting frustrated, it's in, oh my God, this concept isn't working out. Fuck everything. And so you go back to the drawing board and then you find something and then you're great. And then before you know it, you're happily Photoshopping away. And next thing you know, it's been 12 hours. Holy crap, I need to eat something.
Oh, like, yes. Yeah, okay, so it's like gathering the tools. Gathering the tools can be really annoying. The actual process, like when you're in the vibe, that's fine.
Yeah, it's like you reach this point sometimes, or hopefully a lot of times, when you're working on your art or your designs or whatever, whether you're working with your tablet sketching or whether you're working in Photoshop, you reach this point where it's like an almost zen state of mind, where it's like everything just kind of fades away and you're just completely focused on what you're doing. And it's very relaxing.
It is. It is so it's like relaxing.
It's one of the few ways that I've found to actually shut my brain up.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for sure. For me, it's... well, for you, in the, like for me in the, in art, when I draw, it's inking details. Because usually, like, I have a shape, I have an idea, and I just, like, you do, like, very small details for 3 hours. And
it's like, draw all the lace.
It is so relaxing. But, like, for design, would it be like even like nudging, nudge, one pixel at a time?
Sometimes, sometimes it's doing the masking and the pin tool to just like do selections and chop away bits of the photo that you don't need, things like that.
Okay.
And like shit like that, where you're like getting the photos primed to use in your design. Or things like, I don't know. Sometimes it's just like, I'll just fiddle with the background for hours, things like that. It's like you just, it's like you just get in this thing where it's like, okay, I want to keep messing with it because this is very peaceful and I want to continue.
Yeah, big mood. Good. Next. Rina Jenkins asks, how does the mood of the story impact the cover and vice versa?
Well, as we've talked about before, the mood of the story impacts the aesthetic choices that you make for your cover design, the photo, the photos, color schemes, fonts, all of it. And be mindful of that because human beings attach meanings and symbolism to images. And you want to use that knowledge to make a good cover. So that's for how the mood of the story would like impact the cover. It's basically, it impacts all the visual choices that you make. And then for the other way around, I always say that my cover for After She Wakes, podfic that I did for Shakespeare's The Tempest, I always swear that it affected my reading a little bit because when I first tried to do the reading, I tried to do sort of like trying too hard to be witty and sarcastic and tongue in cheek and everything. And it wasn't, it just wasn't really working. So I said, okay, never mind. I'll go back to tinkering around with the cover for a bit because that was one where I was struggling with the design concept that I had at the time. Then I finally came up with something. And then when I was like, okay, awesome, I've got this. And then I went back to recording. And then suddenly the recording came out. They're very, I don't know, very wistful and very, I don't want to say unsure, but...
Tentative?
Tentative sometimes, and sometimes it was, it had an almost storybook quality to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But is it because like you built a headcanon around it, or just because you grasped what you wanted out of it?
I think the vibe of the cover gave me the idea to do it, probably.
Okay.
And then it seemed to work, so I ran with it. And so, yeah, I always swear that my After She Wakes cover affected the way I did my reading.
Amazing. Nice. Do you ever make the cover first and then have to make a podfic fit?
Making the cover first is my usual MO. Covers are generally easier for me than the recording process.
Yeah.
As I've talked about before, I'm more comfortable in that part of it than in recording itself. I tend to be much more critical of myself when it comes to the recording and performing side of it. It's also my usual MO because I've, as I've said before, I need time if you're going to want something good. And so almost any cover that I've done for anyone else, I did the cover before I heard the podfic.
It's really cool also because it's like the complete opposite than my way of doing it.
Oh,
well, that's fascinating, you know, like I cannot make a cover without hearing the podfic first.
That and, makes sense.
Yeah, I talked about it in the free talk that I just did when you were gone.
Okay.
Which you will have fun with. I'm sorry.
Oh, I bet I will. Okay. But another part of it is that, like, because the recording and performing part of it is the sort of really hard slog part of podficking for me. That tends to be the part where once I'm done with it, once I'm done with the recording and the editing, I start to lose patience and I want to get that thing posted and I just want to be done with mm-hmm. it. And so if I start a cover after that, I am going to be rushing the cover and not doing so well with it. So.
Okay. But in yeah. everything you mentioned, then you did the cover for the fic first, but did you ever have like make a cover and then you have to find a fic that works for it? You know what I mean? Like the way that we want to do it for the red, white, and royal blue. Like make an art, make a cover, and then ask somebody to do a fic, and then have a podfic of it.
I have never made a cover altogether first and then had to find a fic to fit it.
Okay.
I have collected design elements here and there and then like looked for fics to fit it. Or I have found ideas for covers mm-hmm. and then I looked for fics to fit it.
Okay.
Like the whole Bauhaus thing where mm-hmm. I wanted to do a Bauhaus style cover. I was like, fuck it. I'm making it work.
Mm-hmm. I've done that once. I mean, I never do a cover before because that's not how it can work because mm-hmm. I need a perfect. But I, at one point I was like, you know what? I want to do a soft watercolor cover art. So I went into the Putfic cover art welcome tag on AO3 and mm-hmm. I found a fic that would work with soft watercolor and I just did a cover for it. So I think that also could be a way if you're like, okay, so I have really the design, I don't know. So, and when you want to shop, you can just find an already made Putfic and then, you know,
yeah,
good collaboration.
Yeah. So it's really similar to the way I did with my, okay, I want to do Bauhaus. I'm itching to do Bauhaus. And it's like, fumbles what you got. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you had a concept in mind, but you didn't make the cover ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Next, what kind of elements translate well from story to art?
Recurring themes and objects within the story, things like mementos, mm-hmm. any sort of object that holds any importance or place or action that the story revisits more than once, if mm-hmm. it keeps going back to it, mm-hmm. that indicates some importance, that's good to use for a cover. If you have a fic where maybe, say, the two characters in the ship, like one gives the other character like a ring or some kind of piece of jewelry. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a memento or a promise or a reminder or something. And then this throughout the story, you have the character keep on like messing with and thinking about that ring mm-hmm. or that whatever piece of jewelry it is. You could use something like that in the cover. Mm-hmm. Just anything that the story tends to revisit more than once.
And you're talking about specifically like objects because those are easier to yeah. find?
Well, objects, places, actions, anything. Like I used an object as an example, but like it's anything that holds a place of prominence within the story.
So you're analyzing the story and figuring out like yeah. recurring themes and objects.
It's like you're taking all of that literary analysis that our English literature teachers uh-huh. drilled into our heads in high school. And
you're like, I'm never using this shit. And then you use it for cover art.
Exactly. All of the, you know, when your English teacher was droning on about recurring themes and things like that in stories that you read, mm-hmm. guess what? Now you're going to use it.
Yep. Like, now you're finding and using it for this tentacle porn. You're welcome.
Exactly.
But it is amazing. It is amazing.
Also, it maybe doesn't have to necessarily actually appear in the story, but any kind of imagery that holds a lot of symbolic weight mm-hmm. that's related to recurring elements or themes within the story. Mm-hmm. Like if it's an epistolary fic where it's like written through like letters or emails back and forth between the characters and it's not really like a third person narrative, then you could do like a photo of letters.
Nice. Yes.
A photo of letters in the mail or something like that.
Yeah. Anything that represents the fic. Well, I mean, yeah. the story, let's be real, because I put fic.
Yeah. It's where you go back and you think about like the symbolism that people attach to certain images and you, yeah.
Do you ever take, it's not in the question, that's me. Do you ever take elements that you know from the podficker to incorporate into the art? Like if they have a low voice or high or gravelly or, you know, something. Or you know that this podficker really loves the color red. Are you going to include that? Or?
Oh, yeah. If they have any, like, specific requests or any specific favorites, I will try to incorporate that into the podfic. In terms of being influenced by the voice, I don't listen to the podfic before making the cover, but I have been influenced by, like, the tone of the fic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking that since you do a lot of cover for Dr. Fumble Makes Stupid, now you know how the voice sounds, right? You have a pretty good guess what's going to come out as.
Yeah. I worry less about the voice, and I think more about the tone of the fic altogether, as it's written, because I'm going by, most of the time, I'm going by what I read or by what they tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I tend to use as my gauge.
Okay. Yeah, because you do also take the podficker's point of view on this, since they give you instructions sometimes.
Yeah, they give me instructions sometimes, and I would do my best to follow those instructions. Huh. If I think that something else would work really well, then I try to gently suggest it. But yeah, if they want it, I'll do it.
Nice. See, this is also where we differ. I don't read the fic, like, ever. I don't care about the fic. I only read the podfic. I only listen to the podfic. And the voice of the podficker, like, makes all the difference, because it's what's gonna... Tell me.
I can see that, like the tone and the inflection.
Yeah, but also the type of voice. Like, I use a type of voice to know in what medium I'm going to do it. So, when I do covers for Sophie Nisba, her voice is kind of gravelly, like a little more like this and stuff, and it's fucking gorgeous. But that, for me, that's a texture that I get from crayons and graphite. And, like, you know, anything that scratches on paper, so I have to keep the texture. I will not use...
Anything that has more of a rough look, yeah.
Exactly. So I cannot do, like, digital entirely or watercolors. It's not going to work for that voice.
That makes sense.
And,
yeah.
Well, whereas when I'm doing, like, when I did for, like, Lunchy, and she, and, like, for the one we did together, it's much cheaper, it's more clean, the way that she edits it. And I knew beforehand, like, how the voice would sound. So the colors, like, you know, it's the anime two cell shading. It's by computer. Mm-hmm. It's clean. And there's a black line out in colors. It's a very different type of comedic feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, yeah, see that, like, so it's very, I have a completely opposite approach to you.
And I mean, it's not completely opposite, because, like, I'm not going to read fics that I'm not in the fandom for. I'm sorry, especially if they're long ones. Like, then I'm kind of not quite doing exactly what you're doing, but I am going by what the podficker tells me and how they seem to feel about it. And so I will also take my cues from that. So in my covers for others, a lot of times, yes, I will take my cues from the podficker.
Have you ever had, because I also, like, sometimes did cover art and I listen to a lot of it with fandoms I don't know. Do you ever have that problem where you're like, I'm going to Google these characters to have, like, pictures and reference, but I'm not sure which one it is. So you're going to have to check in.
Oh, God.
But yeah. Like, do I have the right face? Because that's going to be so annoying.
That's where, you know, that whole fandom wiki website that has wikis for every fucking fandom in the universe.
Yes.
That's where that comes in handy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am, otherwise I will be sitting there like, okay, I need to include this character, but who the fuck are they?
Mm-hmm.
And you look up. And you can't trust Google Image Search to only turn up photos of that character.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to look up, okay, you have to do a little bit of reading about the fandom. Yeah. And about the characters in the whatever, the book, show, movie.
Yeah. And for anime, I had to ask the person, like, is this a fan art or is this the actual, like, character? And is this how it looks? Is this how they look in the story? Or is there, like, you know, 50 different costumes and it matters because it represents something? I don't fucking know.
It's you're playing 20 questions with the person. Like, okay, tell me about this because I know jack squat about it and I don't want to accidentally do the wrong thing here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you don't want to just go into things blind.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we must have fucked up in the past, but it's totally fine. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's how you learn.
It is a learning experience.
It's a learning experience. That's what I tell myself to keep from going crazy.
Oh, yeah. That's big mood. All right.
Yeah.
Right. Next. How do you avoid making 700 versions of essentially the same cover? For example, faces plus text.
So, as I've said before, recurring themes within the story or recurring objects or actions within the story. And I've also talked about looking around at graphic design you see all around you. Mm-hmm. Advertisements, architecture, interior decor, web design, printed materials, product packaging, film and TV. Like, all of that relies heavily on some form of design. There are also all kinds of websites and blogs that are dedicated specifically to helping with graphic design inspiration. There's so many of them that you basically just have to like Google search the phrase graphic design inspiration websites and like it will drown you in them. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing you can do. Also, just kind of like paying more attention to art in general. Mm-hmm. Art may not be the same thing as design, but it is very closely related and it can help you understand certain aspects of design. Right. Like understanding the way artists use imagery and details, light and color, for example, mm-hmm. to convey mood for the piece can help you later when you're working on one of your covers and trying to convey a mood.
All right. So you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, like to keep the inspiration fresh and to change sources of inspiration, but also like reference often. Not to take one style and stick with it.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's when in graphic design, you have to be a chameleon. You can't have just one. You can't have, quote unquote, your style so much because you're going to be asked to do a whole lot of things in a whole lot of different styles. And you have to be able to accommodate that. So graphic designers tend to shy away of having a specific style. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself to really have much of a style. I try to keep my sources and my like sources of inspiration relatively diverse. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think
I was going to point out like fan art is totally relevant when I talk about paying more attention to art in general. mm-hmm. But yeah, fan art totally counts. Yes. But also like, you know, go to an art museum sometime. Like mm-hmm. they're fun as hell. mm-hmm. And those big giant coffee table books that people look set out in their living rooms to try to make themselves look cultured. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, those things are actually really good to like flip through for ideas too. Even art history books. Yeah. Like, so that sort of thing.
And just to make it like explicitly clear, when you say like you look at different sources and stuff for inspiration, it means like find something that clicks and then try to mimic like the font play and the composition and like, you know, that's the type of thing, isn't
it? Find something that you like mm-hmm. and try to incorporate the elements that you liked. All right. Don't try to copy it outright, mm-hmm. but use what you liked. Mm-hmm. There's this really good book called Steal Like an Artist. Mm-hmm. I think it's by Austin Kleon that talks about that, how no creativity happens in a vacuum. The point is how well you use your inspiration and how much of a creative twist you put on whatever sort of like theme that's been done before. Mm-hmm. It's like you find, like you say you see an image on a design blog and mm-hmm. there was this part of it that you think is just awesome and it would be great for this podfic. Mm-hmm. Maybe do something similar. Don't necessarily copy it outright, mm-hmm. but do something similar that has like a similar concept behind it.
Adaptive.
Yeah. Yeah. Adapt it.
Mm-hmm. I confess that since I'm not a graphic designer, sometimes if I want to just do a cover and I have art for it, I will Google movies, like movie, just mm-hmm. the word movie and the mood or whatever I'm going to try to come across with. And I try to get inspiration from the movie posters or book covers that come up in Google search mm-hmm. because graphic designer has already done the work for me behind those and I can just go with that, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. Like, I mean, that's what I did for my 7 for a Secret cover. And mm-hmm. oh God, I really need to finish like re-editing that podfic so I can repost it. But but yeah, that's what I did for the 7 for a Secret cover was I basically did a whole bunch of Google searches for old, like the old school Disney movie posters and mm-hmm. VHS cassette mm-hmm. cases and like all of that shit. And then I basically like took that idea of the way they were set up and I figured out ways that I could kind of corrupt it and fuck it up,
mm-hmm.
and then incorporate it in the cover.
Excellent.
And yeah.
Well done.
I mean, that whole story was about, you know, fucking up your childhood, so.
Yes.
Twisted Disney princesses. So.
Which, yeah, that's most Disney princess stories. I love them so much.
I know. I love Disney horror. It's great.
Deconstruction. It's deconstruction and nostalgia at the same time. It's the best.
Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. What is the most ridiculous or intensive things you've done for a portrait cover?
Well, you've talked about before, like, spending hours on end, like, drawing or photoshopping a thing and then ending up just dumping it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't Mood. Count the number of times that I've done that. It's like I spent all night last night getting this just right. But now when I use it, it's like, oh, okay, shit, it doesn't really fit after all. And so you dump it.
Kill your darlings.
So, yeah, like, there was this one Podfic cover for Rose Crichton that I did. I think it was Some Assembly Required, where it involved femme Tony Stark. And so I found an image of a female, like, hairstyle model or whatever that looked like she could be manipulated into looking like a femme version of Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
I put in the time and the effort to kind of Photoshop her to look kind of like she was inside the suit looking at all the glowing screens and all that.
No.
And I wanted to use it, and I kept trying to find it, and it just didn't work. No. And I finally just had to come to terms with the fact that, you know, it's fun, but it wasn't usable for a cover because it was just like the image was too busy. There mm-hmm. were too many noticeable elements that drew your attention. Mm-hmm. And like I was talking about before, the whole negative space thing. I wouldn't have had enough negative space in the design if I tried to use it.
No.
So it's just still sitting on my hard drive.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, it happens. But other than that, I don't know how ridiculous or intensive it is, but I don't want to think about how much money I've spent on things like fonts
mm-hmm.
and stock vector artwork and stock photos. And I don't make a habit of buying it, mm-hmm. but back when I had the money for it, yes, I would get that stuff.
Did you ever go out and take your own pictures?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I am a middling photographer at best. So, like, that is something mm-hmm. that, like, if I ever had the time and the money, I would love to take a photography class, but it's not something I'm especially skilled with. So I would rather just leave it to the professionals.
Okay. Because that's where also, so, like, sometimes you hear a really crazy story of people like, I needed snow. So I had one patch of snow in, like, the other side of the park. And then they just ran out at 3 a.m. I'm like, yeah, yeah, good job. Like, you know, dedication to
I
your
craft. I love those stories. Yeah.
I love them so much. Of people going like, that's my plushie and that's my cat. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Good work.
Yeah. And those kinds of covers are always cute. I like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I just, because I'm not that fond of my skills in photography. And frankly, the images I take with my phone and my tablet tend to come out too blurry and not very good quality.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't bother. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it.
I have some weird stories where sometimes I have to ask coworkers and friends to take poses for me.
Oh, or, like, to use as source, yes, source photographs.
Yeah. Or like I have to
come,
take my own pictures for, like, textures or draw in very strange places because that's the only place where I have time for this shit. And yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
Very but, intensive.
Yeah, I haven't done that. Like, I don't know. She didn't do the photo shoot especially for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this one time where I basically, it wasn't a cover or anything like that. It was just a Photoshop project. But one of my friends who was studying photography at the time, she did this whole entire photo shoot with this one girl. And then I took a bunch of the images and then I took one of them and Photoshopped her to look like she was a demon in a Supernatural poster, basically.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I've done, like, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taken things that my friends have done and just kind of messed with them. So
is it you who did, lunches, I'm in love with my radio, and then the whole blog. Was it that one? Or it's another one. Wasn't there like a fic where you graphicked like a whole live journal and blogs and like extremely...
Oh, Tumblr Trope Bombs. She did Tumblr Trope Bombs with A Distant Sun, and A Distant Sun actually did that cover where they made it look like a Tumblr layout, I think.
Oh,
that
no.
What you're talking
no,
about?
I'm thinking about Gwentastic in Merlin fandom. Okay. But it's crazy stuff too. Basically, you know the type, like when you make a graphic, but it's the whole page of the site, but you have to redo it and all the fonts. Yeah. So it was that, like, we do that for cover sometimes, but she did it like for the whole fic, and it was crazy intensive, and there were comment threads. It was amazing. I'm so impressed by graphic designer people, like, Jesus.
Yeah, that is a lot of work. Holy
shit. Yeah. It's all like picking fonts and colors and wow. Oh gosh. All right. Moving. Next. What's a goal project or something that's been on the back burner for a while?
So let's see. It's not necessarily on the back burner, but it's something that I would like to do sometime. More of an Art Nouveau type of cover.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe something that's more similar to like the Scottish Arts and Crafts movement. It would be nice to find a fic like that. And just like, that would actually be really illustrator intensive. So I would need even more time for it. But that would be something that I think might be fun to do once I've, you know, ripped all my hair out. Because you always go through that phase of like, fuck this!
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the creative process.
Yes, it's a normal part of the creative process.
I mean, we all go through it. So, but more covers based on paintings and classical art.
Okay.
Things like your Renaissance and your Baroque oil paintings, things like that. Covers that are just typography. Like, actually, my initial idea for Giacometti and Company, before I approached you, was I wanted to see about doing it just pure typography, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up just like, no, okay, I'll do this other thing instead. And so I approached you, but yeah, that was one thing that I was almost going to do.
That was going to be so classy. That's nice.
Yeah. And on the flip side, one of these days, like, I want to do like a whole cover with no text at all on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's really hard to like find fix for something like that, because like it has to be so well known that people will recognize it just from the images. And it's harder to find that in fandom, in terms of fan works.
Maybe fan art? You know,
like
if there's like a fan art attached to it, that's really known. Like, I mean, part of a big bang or something, maybe.
That's something to ponder. But yeah, just like go full on like Rolling Stones cover and just like have no text at all on there.
Yeah. Nice. Do you have projects? Like, I mean, communities you would like to see happen, or things that a Podfic committee could do, you know, like wishes.
Like wishes for the Podfic community in general?
Like, I would like to have more tutorials, like actual how-tos and step-by-steps. And, you know, back in LJ, there was a lot of icons and icon communities. Mm-hmm. And people had these really extensive tutorials on each of their winning awards icon and how they did it, which layer styles they use and how they got there. And, like, it was extremely extensive, extremely specific, and super helpful. And I wish to see that more for cover art. So I know that you are doing your series, but I wish that like everyone took some time to do that, and that we could have something more solid to build on.
Yeah, that was kind of when I initially started that Potter's Undercover community that tanked when like real life shit just got way too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of one of my ideas, was to like
plug
have it be a source of like, No, it's not resurrecting, sweetie.
Oh, come on.
I do not have the energy for it now.
I mean, other people can use it, right?
Other people can use it as in take over the comm?
Well, no. I mean, can post their own links to tutorials.
Oh,
and...
Yeah, no, like... you're welcome to. Yeah, but like it was before it tanked because I just got too overwhelmed a couple of years ago when shit started hitting the fan. I had intended for it to be a place of like tips and tutorials along with like critiques and things like that. So, you know, that was something that I had wanted for that.
Yeah, I do wish like that Podfic Tips was still very active and had like a wall cover art section.
Yeah, but too many, like, so many podfickers of this generation just, like, don't even know how to use LJ and Dreamwidth. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I understand. But I mean, like, it doesn't have to be on LJ or Dreamwidth. I just want something like that.
Yeah.
Something, you know, like, not steady. I mean, that won't move. What's the term for that? Because, you know, Tumblr, like, if you change your username, it just fucks up the URL.
Yeah, so I need, definitely.
Yeah, I need something, like, not transient.
Something that can act as more of an archive.
Yeah, like
permanent. Like a WordPress blog type thing.
Something more permanent, yeah. Yeah, something more permanent and final and just, but still friendly and open. And yeah. With new posts from time to time. Okay. So, yeah. So, that's my wish and my pitching at the same time. But, yes. Because, you know, it's one of those things where I think we have a lot to give. And there's less resources on how and where to give it.
Yeah.
A bit like comment and feedback that sometimes, like, we want more feedback and comments and in-depth. But also, we don't, or we don't know how to go about it or where to post it. And it's a bit awkward. So we just
You don't know what to, like, if you don't, and a lot of times if you don't have a background in art or design, you don't even know what questions to ask to get better.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and
I don't know how many times, like, people have asked me, like, how do I make this better? I don't know what's wrong with it. And, like, I basically just had to analyze it to them. Like, okay, this is what's wrong with it. This is what can make it better. Because they don't have the background to even be able to think like a designer yet. It's like, they don't have that training. So
yeah, and that's normal. But it can be learned or taught.
Yeah, that can be taught, definitely.
Yeah, and
you don't have to, like, go hardcore and, like, get a degree in it like I did. Yeah.
No. I mean, if they do, like you say, and just try to familiarize their eyes with design, like in ads, but also in book covers and everything, I think it will get there. You know, like, the eye will start to see things differently and perceive good from bad in a different way. I mean, it's not bad. It's just, like, you know, like, good from bad in the way that how well it conveys.
Effective versus ineffective.
Thank you.
Maybe.
Effective versus, yes, exactly. Effective versus ineffective.
Not necessarily good or bad, no. Just maybe not quite the best for that project.
Yeah, because good or bad is in the eye of the beholder and is meaningless. Yeah. And that's not what even the covers are for. Like, the cover doesn't have to be pretty or good, but it has to be effective.
Yes.
At one point, I guess. Well, I mean, for you. For me, it has to be pretty.
Well, I mean, there have been covers that I did where I tried to deliberately make it disturbing.
Like, yes, unstable.
Lunchy did a Halloween series at one point where she read a bunch of, like, creepypastas and one Edgar Allan Poe short story, The Telltale Heart, and then the Inner Grove thing was part of that. Mm-hmm. But the other covers that I did were based on the sort of Telltale Heart thing where I basically, like, I did the text forming the shape of a human heart on a wooden background and shit. So it was, like, kind of like a visual representation of the story. And I wanted to make it, like, ugly and creepy and things like that.
So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, there are times when you want that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's effective.
Definitely.
And last is, but not least, have you ever had to dump a project? What's the story of a time your cover art tanked, and how did you get inspired or not?
So, tanked? A lot of the covers I've done have been, like, the second or third try. It's that whole thing about I talk about needing to be flexible. That's just part of it. You're going to have to go back to square one a lot of the time, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Dumped? The original cover for My Heart Goes Sha-la-la-la-la. That one was, like, even at the time, I felt like it was mediocre, but I wanted to just get the podfic out there, so I was like, fuck it. So that was one where, I actually went back and I replaced it. So the one that's up there now is not the original. The original shall never see the light of day again.
It is hidden in the archives.
Yeah, definitely. So there have been times where, yes, I have dumped ideas or dumped covers, and then I have replaced And then there have also been times where, like, I didn't necessarily dump the cover, but I went in and I changed it and I uploaded the updated version. Like with After She Wakes, I wasn't initially completely happy with the typography choices that I made in the first one, but I was using the best choices that I had on hand at the time. Mm-hmm. Later, I found something better. And so I made it work a lot better with the new thing that I found. And so I went in and I added it. And I like re-uploaded the podfic with the new cover attached to it and all that. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how do you kick yourself into inspiration if you're like stuck and it just sucks and you hate it?
First, you take a few days away from it.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Because once you're frustrated, then you're going to get into a frame of mind where you're closing yourself off to ideas to begin with. Because you're going to be like, oh my God, fuck this. So take a few days away from it. Maybe a few weeks sometimes. Like it's, you know, sometimes you need that time to just back off and let it simmer. And then just start looking around. That's where I was talking about doing like your vague Google searches for like keywords and see what comes up. Mm-hmm. And when you go look at like the graphic design inspiration websites, or you go start Googling around for images of things that you associate with it. And it's just kind of, yeah, first you step back and then you just kind of start scouting around for ideas.
Do you recommend to start from scratch or to keep some things?
I recommend starting from scratch.
Yeah,
you can always go in and incorporate things once you've got a new concept that actually works. You can always look at going in and incorporating things, but first start from scratch so that you can have a fresh idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's where you'll see like in my cover folders, I will have like version A, version B, version C, and like that. Like
I'm going to come in and say they are not named version A, B, C. They're named like version A, version, fuck this, version.
Well, the really bad ones, yes. there are ones that are labeled things like fuck this shit. But yeah, no, that's where like you'll see multiple versions. And then the older ones, like the older ones are going to be like the failed versions that just like didn't quite make it off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the newer versions are just somewhat altered versions of the failed versions. Mm. But a lot of times it's just completely different altogether.
All right. Do you keep your old files? Do you keep everything or do you scrap it?
For covers, yes. I will tend to keep my old files just because I'm too lazy to go in and delete them.
Mm-hmm.
But I especially like to keep the source images and things like that that I use, because you never know when a good background texture is going to come in handy again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I tend to be kind of a pack rat when it comes to that kind of sort of thing.
Cool.
So that's it for the questions. Thank you so much again to everyone who sent them in. And now that that's done, have some outtakes. Including tons of gushing about Red, White, and Royal Blue, which is an amazing book that everyone needs to read and create fanworks for, because that fandom is still way too tiny. Enjoy!
I'm sorry, my kitty just jumped on my mic, so maybe you know where
noises.
And now there's hair everywhere.
No worries. It makes it more personal and intimate to hear all this sort of, yeah.
It does. I love hearing background noise. I know I'm wild, and I know everyone is like, oh no, I want to edit out every bird noise I ever hear. I'm like, no, keep it. It's so great to be lying awake at 3 a.m. and just hear like bird chopping in the background or a cat mewing at the door, and you're like, oh, there's a kitty somewhere. Oh, there was one. You know, it's fun.
I'm the one that's like, oh my God, I have to sound like I was recording in a studio sound booth.
Oh, no.
Like, no. It's like me. It's like, what do Audible narrators sound like? Okay, cool.
They have background noise. Like, Audible narrators sometimes have less quality than Podfic girls. So,
yeah, I will. Yeah, like, because Podficers perform a lot more mm-hmm. than audiobook narrators do. Yeah. Like, I would 100%, like, I was listening, like, the most recent audiobook I was listening to, I was just thinking in my head, you know, this is great, but I know of at least 10 or 12 podfickers that could do this so much better.
Right? Yes. And they keep using Anyway, you know, professional audiobooks, I listen to a lot of Slash and MM, and like mm-hmm. they keep insisting on having only male narrators or male sounding narrators God. Do this because it's important or something. I'm like, it's weird. No, I mean,
I know.
I mean, it's great, so, but like, also no.
It's weird listening to men read to me in general these days, like not just the Slash and the like male, the MM romance novels and things like that, but just audiobook narrators in general. It's weird to hear men.
It was a bit stunning because, well, I mean, I learned a lot of prof who had deep voices and a lot of them who don't identify as women, but
yeah.
still, you know, like they're very gravely, very Astonborough, like, you know, the background, the trailer of voice thing. Yes. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. Am I in a like documentary or something, which is always all male for reasons of patriarchy?
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, anyway, yes. I would like more diversity in voices and accents for audiobooks too.
Definitely.
But that's a
thing. That is another thing that I love about Podfix. I love hearing everybody's accents.
Yes. I'm discovering that I think I have a thing for Australian accents.
Aww.
Which I didn't know. I was just like, oh yeah, I like this, I like this, I like this voice, and I like this voice. And then they're like, all of them are Australians, huh? But there's something comforting about the accent, I think, because we have Canadian sounds a bit like it to my head. I don't know.
I can see that, yeah.
So, yeah, we are the same. We are brothers and sisters and others yeah. in collaboration about, like, being conquered by the British and having aspects and stuff. Anyway. Yeah.
Rose and I keep talking about needing to find a fic where we can both break out our Southern accents.
That would be so great.
We're both from the same state. And it, like, I am originally from Texas. That's where she lives.
It's so strange. You don't sound alike to me at all.
A lot of that was deliberate effort in my teens.
Okay.
I got sick and tired of shit like, hey, Texas, where's your cowboy hat?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, just, you know, jerk stuff people would do as kids, making fun of other kids. But, like, I just also just, there's also this perception in the States that the more Southern your accent is, the more likely they are to see you as just, like, dumb or at least okay. the very least uneducated.
Okay. There's a stereotype. With the accent.
Yeah, stereotype. And as a kid, I was really self-conscious about it. I don't care so much about it anymore. Mm-hmm. But I got into such a habit of speaking a certain way that it's just really hard to drop. Like when I'm tired or when I'm drunk, or when I was drunk, I don't drink anymore, but mm-hmm. when I was drunk, it would come out. And when I'm tired, it will come out. Or if I'm talking to family back in Texas, it will come out. But yeah, it's something that it has to be kind of a conscious thing for me now.
Okay.
Because my default is, yeah.
I'm going to derail the conversation so hard. Is this part of why you really like Red, White, and Blue?
Red, White, and Royal Blue? Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I mean, I was excited about it before the book even came out, but okay. absolutely 100% yes.
I had never heard about
yes.
it before. It just came out. I was like, what is this from? Oh, it's totally Finnish. And then I listened to it. I was like, wow, it's super Finnish, and I love it.
Yes, that is 100% part of why I love Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh,
it's
my
not,
God. You
it's
need...
a big part of it.
We need to find fig. Then y'all need to record that shit. And then I can draw a cover for it. Okay?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, you're on. If
I don't
nothing
know
else, I will find a fic and record it myself.
Yes. Please do. Please do. That would be so great.
It'll take me fucking forever, but okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It'll take me forever to draw anyway, so we can just, you know, tag along.
I mean, yeah.
Like, you're going to have to give me, like, 2 months or something.
So. I got to dip my toe in somehow, but no. But yeah, that is definitely part of why I liked Red, White, and Royal Blue, and there were other reasons, though, too.
So. Oh, yeah. Of course. Did you listen to the audiobook?
The audiobook?
Yeah.
Yes. My mom and I wanted my mom to read the book, and that wasn't happening. So it's like, okay, I am going to voice this on you in the car.
Excellent.
And so we spent a couple of weeks listening through it whenever we were in the car.
How's the accent? Like, was it on point or was it bad?
So the only gripe I had about the accents in that book, we're going to be editing so much out.
Fine. Whatever.
I mean, we can release an unedited, just listen to us ramble version. Oh, but,
Save yourself.
But my only real gripe with the accents in the audiobook was the way he did Henry. He Henry like he was a foppish, middle-aged sort of... He sort of like...
Well, he has a stick in his ass. He has a really big stick.
He has a stick in his ass, but there's still a very specific way that he was speaking that just doesn't really fit because, like...
Okay.
Henry is young. He's not 58 years old. Like, and the way he did Henry just made him sound very old and very sort of like, yes, Henry has a stick up his ass, but not that kind of stick.
Not yet.
And no, I was not trying to be, I was not trying to use innuendo there. So probably just.
Okay.
It made him sound like sort of an elderly slash middle-aged man instead of like a millennial who probably uses something more along the lines of like modified RP English instead of like straight RP or just like straight upper crust English accents, especially in his private moments. Most of what we see of Henry in the book is him with Alex when he's not, you know, being Henry, Prince of Wales.
So the text and everything.
Yeah,
like
I imagine at the very least when he's off camera, at the very least he would code switch.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, that's fair. And yeah, more of a relaxed, modified RP that you hear from like maybe English celebrities who have the sort of standard British accent, but it's not so uppity and stuffy and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it does. It does. That's really fun. And
but the Latino
Texas
accents.
One and the Latino one was okay.
The Texas ones and the Latino ones were dead on.
Excellent.
Those were amazing. I was like, yes. But yeah, no, the British accents were where he kind of suffered.
Nice. I was listening and, you know, unless Alex starts mostly in a different context. And so the accent was a bit flatter, I guess I would say. And then sometimes when he would talk to his family or some words would dip and the y'all just came out like twice in a discussion. And I was like, damn, okay. Is that what Texas sound like? Maybe it is. I don't actually know. And then so, I was like, I need like, to find out.
I will say this. Texas accents are very different from what Hollywood would have you believe. What Hollywood portrays as Texas accents is usually older white Texas accents.
Okay.
Like, you know, baby boomers and older generation, older generations. Modern urban Texas accents are actually kind of closer to mine. Like, I don't really have the Texas accent straight up anymore. Mine is very kind of like, it's kind of a mishmash of just, I would say, just generic American English with like a Southern cadence because I will never, ever be able to speak fast. That's one thing that growing up in the South does do to you. But Texans, yeah, like I remember hearing someone somewhere talk about how Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki from Supernatural didn't actually have Texas accents. It's like, oh no, honey, they do. You hear it clear as day if you know what to listen for.
Huh.
And yeah, it's just not the stereotype that people think of.
Huh.
And nice. So, yeah.
Nice. Well then, so we get on that. We might have to get, like, a Ficker on board, too.
I know.
We need... Oh, gosh, I'm gonna have to make friends with Fickers.
I know.
And I know in your case, you're like, yes. In my case, I'm like, oh, no, making friends is so hard. I don't have a spoon for this.
I'm actually pretty shy, too.
God damn. Can you... Oh, my God.
We're We're going to have to just, like, both get kind of venture out of our comfort zone here. Mm-hmm. And all the while just keep an eye on the red, white, and royal blue tag on AO3.
Yeah. I haven't even checked it yet. So maybe there's already, like, so many great things.
Oh, my God. There's already a really great hockey AU fic in there.
Oh, no. It's a one-shot. Are you shitting me? Come on. I'm a bad Canadian. I hate hockey. I hate everything to do with hockey. My wife plays hockey every fucking Monday with her girlfriend. And I'm so glad that she has a girlfriend that likes hockey because I hate it. God damn it. It's a dangerous sport. It's boring. And it's terrible.
I mean, I have fair feelings enough about because this. I hate all things cowboy. So, okay, then. Like,
high five.
I am a Texan who fucking hates beer and hates John Wayne movies. So, oh, beer, you know, is terrible. I get it.
Beer is terrible.
And fucking hates football.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I hate all sports, basically.
So, you know, I mean, I did get into hockey, although I kind of fell out of reading hockey RPF. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there is a hockey AU that's actually really funny.
I've listened to a bunch.
AO3 right now.
But yeah.
And it's actually really light on the hockey. It's more the behind the scenes stuff. So.
Okay. Yeah. I've read a few books and I've listened to a bunch because, you know, it's. I wanted to listen to the voice. I was like, I guess I can listen to it even though it's hockey. And I've made some really, really, really good finds, but it's still hockey. I still wished
it's like
wasn't.
You made an exception.
Yes, I did. Like, yeah, sadly. I'm still watching it
pretty close. Like, yeah, I'm still waiting for the fandom to really grow. Like, come on, guys. Just Yuletide. Just wait for Yuletide. That's what I'm waiting for.
Head white and blue, and royal blue. Oh yeah. Oh, it will be so good for Yuletide.
Yes. Definitely.
I was gonna say, you know how like we're like, oh, we are shy and we have to make friends and everything. Okay, so I need to say something and I'm gonna cut it. I have a public podfic Twitter, Loon Howl for Wrecking Shit. And I posted about the love meme on it, and then some people, he blocked it, and one or two people commented on it. One of them was like, oh, you know, I like love meme in theory, but in practice, I feel really shy about putting my name on this, so I'm not sure if I want to. And I, like a fool, was like, no, put your name. We're gonna love you, even if you're new or you haven't done podfic in a while. You know, just very cheerful about this poor new baby who was shy. And then, but I mean, I don't think I was condescending, but that's what I fucking do on that account. Like, I'm just a very hyper loving place. And then fucking Feiji posted.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know her. Twitter was something like flock of birds. Like it.
Oh,
I
yeah.
No,
unlock a flock
knowing.
Of words. Yes.
I didn't know. So then she posts and I'm like, I wanna die. Please kill me now. Like, you can see me. I'm just hiding behind my hood.
How can Feiji be so uncomfortable with asking for love? She's like, oh my God, she's so amazing.
I know. Like, if I could be a GIF. In that moment, I would be that, oh gosh, what's her name? Kendra, the girl who's like, Beyonce, I am not worthy of looking at you.
Oh God, yes.
Okay, so like, that's me when Feiji passes by, I have to hide because I am not worthy.
I know.
And I was like, oh my gosh. So, and yeah, and I was like, oh no. Oh no, what have I done? So I'm just leaving comments on our stuff and I used not to because I was intimidated, and now I'm like, oh no, I have to treat her like a human because I'm a dumbass and she is. You know, like, we could even talk about things like goddamn Guardian fandom for us English speakers who don't get anything about it. And then, and so, yeah, so I'm just like, I left a comment, like a very gushing comment on one of her podfic again, which is what I usually do. But at the end of it, I left an open question about the canon. I was like, oh, I haven't watched the show yet. Can you tell me about this character? And then she replied, and I'm just dying. And like, am I actually like speaking to this person? Oh my God. I'm having a very weird moment.
I know. It's so weird when you're talking to people who are like super well known in fandom, and then you're like, you're just like, you know, the tiny fish in a massive pond, and you're just like, oh my god.
And it's so stupid because I didn't think I had any of these people. I didn't really have any of the BNF hangups that most people used to talk about on back in ye old days of Flyer Journal. Like, I didn't, because also because I'm really bad with names, so I never knew who was who, right? But I didn't know I had this block with Feiji in particular until it happened and I died. It was like, oh. Oh, I was idolizing?
Yes.
Yes.
Idolizing, yes.
That word that we can type and not say, which is most words for me.
I mean, to be fair, English is what, your second language? Or?
Officially, it's my, like, fourth. But it's
so, like, you're, so, like, you're doing really, really damn good for this to be your freaking fourth language.
I'm supposed to have learned it a long time ago. Anyway.
No. But you know how many languages I speak fluently, sweetie? One.
Well, you speak Texan.
I mean.
No.
But, like, no.
No.
You're great. Don't worry about it. I still miss, like, a lot of that is also, like, there are words that I get wrong because, like, I've only ever read them. I've never ever exactly. heard them spoken.
Yeah,
like,
well, I learned English to fandom,
English
right?
English is so... my native language, honey.
I learned English to fandom, so I have a very, very large vocabulary for things doing with sex and kink, and very, very narrow vocabulary for a lot of other things.
Right.
which is awkward sometimes when I interview. And they're like, oh, your English is good. Like, let's talk about food. I'm like, I have no words for food. Unless it's like, you know, like phallic things that you can misuse. I know all of these. And even though I know what they are. I don't know how to pronounce them either. I just watch them or type them. Or, it's so strange.
Yeah, it's... Oh, God. But bless also, you, fandom.
Bless you, fandom. And bless you, fucking Feige, for doing such great things.
I know.
I can't even, right? It just... Damn, yeah, but figures are so good.
As long as we're editing this out, that's kind of how I... That's kind of how I felt starting to talk to Lunchy in the distance.
I know, right? Oh, my God. The first time that, like, Lunchy replied back and was like, oh, my God, this person is so approachable.
Why are you messing with me? But, like, yeah, that's kind of how I felt. Like, oh, my God, do you realize how obsessive I am over your podfics? And here you are talking to me. This is so surreal.
Yeah. But then you kind of have to get over that, like, okay, so you know. I listen to your voice every single night for 3 months.
Oh, God, no.
And then, I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, so we don't have to
be
real.
I do it for laughs now because, you know, Lunchy hates being all complimented and praised and shit like that. So I still do it for laughs just to torture her, talk about how I still go back and listen to Drastically Redefining Protocol all
the
freaking
time. It is so funny. I listen to the giraffe notes. And, most of our Merlin ones, Drastic DPR and Pairing Pendragon Merlin. Merlin Pendragon.
Yeah.
It has like chat noises in it. It's so great.
Yes. And like, but Lunchy, I started talking to her through hockey fandom, actually, and leaving comments to her and all that. And then we started talking on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. But, and another one was like, when Rena Jenkins asked me for a cover one time, I was like,
oh my God,
don't fuck this up. Oh my God.
Yeah, especially since, Rena's covers are beautiful, right?
And they're really good, especially considering she does them in, like, freaking, what was it, PowerPoint?
Yeah, she does them in PowerPoint.
You know, God love you. God love you, Rena. Bless you.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, hang on. Pause. Or, well, don't pause, but... Hey, I'm still recording. I'm still recording.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, no, it's
she
good.
Was doing noisy stuff in there. But, how about we have you read the questions for now, and then I go over the answers.
I was going to ask, like, you're living with your mom right now, right?
Yes.
How do you record porn?
I don't.
Okay. I mean, that'd be cool, but...
like, I mean, on my own, I have never recorded an NC-17 story.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I have, like, contributed bit lines here and there to mm-hmm. NC-17, but I have not done it myself.
Okay.
That
explains. I'm sorry, I'm noisy.
No, especially now that, like, yeah, our apartment is basically a broom closet, so, okay. Like, she is hearing me loud and clear right now.
Excellent. Okay, I won't ask you any more questions in that vein.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Cool, we almost matched up.
I think we did. Well done.
All right.
Excellent. So we're ready to how was it? We're ready to Jagger, but I mean, like, the movie Mind Melt. What's the name for that? When they fight in giant mecha robots. With the power of love. Is it Mind Meld?
Oh, no, that's Star Trek. The
Pacific Rim.
Pacific.
Yes.
They fight in the Jaegers, and it's
yes.
They're drifting is what they called it. Are you drifting compatible? Yes.
We are getting there. We are gonna be great.
Okay. So
that would be one weird ass fighting.
Oh god. We would be analyzing and criticizing them to death, basically. Like, well, your composition needs yep. work, and the typography.
Well, to be told, yeah, but like the composition in Pacific Rim was pretty on point, and the color was so great. Like the color,
the use of color in it was A+. Oh my god,
yeah, game.
Okay, anyway,
oh gosh, we would be like going to the aliens and going like, your color, your contrast is very nice.
And the way they used blue and gold in that movie is really gorgeous. Like,
oh yes.
Okay.
So great, because and yeah, like you have the richness and you have the weird neon, like, you know, futuristic, but also the gold of humanity. It's just so nice.
Oh man, I know. Okay.
Okay. When you're recording this, you're gonna hear like purring because my cat is just sitting on the mic purring.
Hey, it's all good.
Hey girl. What you want?
Yeah. It's all good. Anyway.
And last but not least, UA did a free talk while I was going out to switch stuff from the washers to the dryer at my apartment's laundry room, since she is sneaky and I was doing laundry while we were recording. I'm mostly adding it because her kitty butts in again and she speaks French to it, which is adorable and all the reason you need, really. Good question.
We don't have to, but like, yeah, you can just cut.
It
like...
would make it a lot more difficult if we did pause mm-hmm. and I had to like, so let's just leave it. I am going to mute the mic on Skype mm-hmm. and I'll be back in a few minutes because I got to transfer stuff to the drawers.
I can free talk.
Yes, if you want to, go for it.
Okay, yeah, so the line went flat, so I guess I'm alone. I should pre-talk stuff. I don't have to, but I think it's going to be super funny because she's going to edit it and freak out. So I would like to say that Lavender's approach to design is freaking amazing. She has such a good eye for layout and composition and like the flow of things. She can perceive from the start of a project where it's gonna end up most of the time. And I know she's gonna say no, but like you can see it from the how she approaches a thing. She has an idea of where she wanna end up. Why do you keep moving? What the fuck is wrong with you? Stop. Sorry, I'm talking to my Audacity, where the sound line thing is constantly moving. Why? It just goes up and up and up, and then I bust my lines because it goes up without me touching it. Could you please stay still? Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, so yeah, she starts with an idea what she wants, like what she wants the result to look like or feel like. Or no, wait. Those are my art terms. because as a designer, she knows what message she want to pass and how she want to pass it from the start. And that is freaking amazing. I, as a more of a chaotic neutral artist, let's say, I usually have an idea of what I want my piece to feel like. And because I want my piece to feel like the voice of the perfect girl. I want a piece to feel like how I feel about the voice of the perfect girl in this project. So I will need, I will absolutely need to have the perfect to be able to gauge this. And so, yeah, it's funny because we edited the first part and then we listened back to it. And I keep thinking like, wow, that is such a different approach than me. Because, yeah, I couldn't actually do a cover without having the perfect. And it doesn't have to be like the perfect. Sometimes I've had a lot of abstracts, which is very cool, or people who give me a previous work that they've done and that they're like, it's going to sound like this one. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. I can work with that. But I need to have the soul of the work, because otherwise I don't have anything to work from, among other things, because I will not read the fic. There are extremely few cases where I had to read the fic. And these are usually for extremely specific things that I needed, or because I had already read it before. But I don't like to read, so I would not subject myself to reading a thing if I could just listen to somebody instead. Like, that sounds weird. It's like, I was going to see a play, but I'm going to read, like, the old English, like, first original piece of it first. And, I mean, you can, but why would you? I guess different approach. What is going on with my sound? Gosh, this is going to be a nightmare to edit. Wow, I'm so sorry for the person who's going to edit this. Yes, so whereas I cannot even do any of my work without having the voice there, Lavender already has an idea of where she wants to end up, of how to get there. So it's kind of like somebody, I don't know, trying to get from point A to point B without a map. Oh no, actually with like 5 maps and having to choose between them and which one is the most efficient. It's more calculated as far as I can tell. Like, that's my feel of it. And I'm more like, you know, drunk person stumbling in the dark who kind of knows they want to get home, but not really sure when, how, and what home is. So it's different, but it's amazing. But also super interesting. And I think this allows us to have, like, extremely different views on cover art and perfect, but also on what we need to get where we want to go. I do not understand my sound. It keeps jumping. I am not moving. My mic is not moving. What is going on? Sometimes it's very quiet and sometimes it's very big. This is a nightmare. Wow. Why would you do this? Oh my god. Well, you know what? If this is a complete bad take, we have a perfectly good whole first segment that is both recorded and edited by the most amazing Lunchy, who Lavender Host edited it, and it's really, really good and made us sound even and level and humble sane. And then Lunchy came in and made us sound like actual functional human beings and good hosts and podcasters. Major kudos to both of these people. Both of these amazing people. What? Hey, Kat. Hey,
Bonjour, qu'est-ce qu'il y a? Non, tu peux pas manger mon micro, j'en ai besoin. Je dois l'enregistrer, Coconut. Allez. Hey, kitty, kitty. Yeah, you're gonna have to hear my kitties again. Yes, I love you. Hey, hey, allô. Non, 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 mange pas mon fil, cocotte. Hey, bonjour. Ok, alors, ça c'est mon laptop, touche pas, touche pas. Non, mange pas mes braces. Jesus, girl. Go. I love you, go away. I love you, go. Gosh. Okay, whatever. The sound is going up again. Why? Why? What did I do? What did I fuck up? What did I fuck up? That is the question of my life. No, my life is fine. What is this? Playback speed. No, that's fine. Why? Okay, I'm gonna Google the fuck out of this as a good millennial. Audacity. Sound keeps rising up.
Okay.
No. Oh, well, apparently I have discovered a whole new problem in Audacity. Excellent. Good work. I'm very proud. Oh, my... Stay there. Stop moving. Stop moving. Fuck.
Okay, back. Hello. Sorry about that. I had to go run all the way to the other side of the apartment complex to put stuff in the dryer and then run back.
No problem. I've talked to my cat and I've discovered that my audacity is fucking up, so I hope that it is still fine.
And that's it. That's the end of the bonus materials. Again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and if you want to leave feedback for myself or for UA, we can be found at ao3.org/users/UA_IX and ao3.org/users/lavenderfrost. And, yeah. Bye.